This is the House of Pop Culture. I'm Anthony Donovan.
Amy Meredith.
Durwood Murray.
And Joe Reese.
And for the next hour or so, we'll be talking your face off about all things pop culture related. And we want to thank everybody for coming down to iTunes and Podbean tonight. You're a wonderful crowd, because tonight we have a very special thing for you tonight. Oh, I'm going to unzip my pants. I'm just kidding.
Anybody, but seriously, folks.
Anybody
from
here?
What's the deal with podcasts?
Tip your waitress.
Try your salad. Two shows on Sunday. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are saluting stand-up comics.
Yay!
Some of our favorite, some of our least favorite. We've got a bunch of talking points. It's gonna be fun.
The two of you, and I'm pointing because everyone can see me.
Yeah.
Anthony and Durwood, you guys have actually done stand up before.
True story.
Joe, yes. I don't know if you've ever done stand
up. I have stood up before, yes.
Good to know, Joe.
Excellent.
Good to know.
No, Durwood and I both worked as stand-up comics. I did most of my stand-up work on the East Coast back in Florida, but I did for a couple of years when we first moved here in Florida. Mm.
Yeah, I did most of mine. I guess most of it was in L.A. On the open mic circuit.
Well, that's rough.
Yeah, it definitely was. But I look back at some of the comedians who I did open mics with, like Anthony Jeselnik, who's huge now.
Really?
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
Well, that's because you don't pay attention to things.
He obviously does hip-hop then. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Quite possibly.
Anyway. Yeah, well, for me, it was actually an open mic night that made me realize I didn't want to do stand-up anymore.
Really?
Yeah, because I did an open mic night at the Comedy Store here in La Jolla, and I didn't bomb. It actually went pretty well, but I remember at the end of the night, because I if they don't know you at the Comedy Store, you go on dead last.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people didn't know me at the time, and I sat there and I watched probably about 2 hours of different stand-up comics, and every single one of them had a gimmick from which their entire act was built. There was the black guy. There was the fat lady. There was the gay guy. There was the Mexican dude. And, like, I didn't
was
have...
Was it the fat black gay lady?
No.
Oh, she would have killed
me. I didn't... But see, she wouldn't have.
No?
Because, like, for Everyone me, I didn't bits. I didn't have a gimmick, because I came from a comedy school where you went on stage and you were funny and you told jokes, and that was... You know, you could kind of do anything. Like, I didn't have one particular act. I just told a lot of different jokes and a lot of different stories, and it always worked well for me elsewhere in the country. And here, I noticed that the game had really changed at that point, and I was just like, you know, I came off stage. Amy was actually in the club that night.
It was good.
Thank you. I came off stage, and I was just like, I really didn't enjoy that. Mm. And, you know, I've always had kind of a... I have a great admiration for people who pursue stand-up as
a
career.
It's
hard. It's hard, and it's a rough life.
Yeah, that is a tough gig.
It is very rough, because in the few years that I did do it, I didn't tour, but it was hard getting your name out there. It was hard getting up on a stage. It was hard putting a new act together. There's a lot of competition. There is a lot of out-of-control alcoholism. Like, I'm not even kidding. I've worked with some comics where, like, there was one guy I worked with years ago, and he, you know, you always have a drink or two to loosen up. It's not unheard of, but he got to the point where he was, like, mainlining so much Liquid Courage. I think the last time I ever played the same night with him, and it was here in San Diego, he got up on stage
and
was so trashed he could barely string two words together.
He was belligerent to the crowd.
And it was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing if you're on top of your shit when you're drunk and you're funny. This dude was not.
I like how he was belligerent and couldn't put together two words.
Yeah.
So he's like...
Because his act fell so flat, then he took the stance of, well, I'm just going to yell at the crowd and try to get a reaction back from them.
That always works.
So
that's like when you're in a foreign country. Speak louder.
Yeah.
Then they'll understand you.
And here's the thing. I think back in the days where we were growing up, you had a lot of comics that eventually wound up in TV.
Yes.
Getting their own shows. Roseanne, Tim Allen, Jerry Seinfeld, a lot of those people.
Early mid-90s you had.
Oh, they ruled.
That's how that happened. But I think now so many stand-ups get into the game with the mindset of, I need to start pitching my show right now.
Right.
So that's where the whole gimmick of their act comes from.
So
and I don't...
Their act is basically a pitch.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and I don't think I care for that much.
No.
Which I get, but I think there's also, there is still that out there. I don't think there's as much of it out there anymore as there used to be. Because now I don't think TV's looking for comedians for shows anymore. Honestly, because nobody's really looking for sitcoms that much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're looking for them for writers.
Yeah, if nothing else, they'd be going more of the Louis C.K. model.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And his was not his act is really all. I mean, he doesn't have a certain act, but his show, which I love.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But no, it's now you have to. It's like what you were saying. You have to have material and be able to tell jokes and mm-hmm. demonstrate what you can do with a pen now, as opposed to just having that gimmick and being able to pitch a show.
And that's I think Louis C.K. is a great example of that because he says a lot of fucked up shit.
Mm-hmm.
And his act is very brash and very, but there's such a genuineness to it. Like, I actually believe that is him and that's how he is. And there's something incredibly endearing about him. I love him. Like, he cracks me up. Well, and
he has an act, but he's not putting on an act.
Right. And that's what I miss. I think there's a lot of comics today that don't really have that.
Well, as someone who has sat through many a comic show, because I've watched you many times doing stand up, but even before that, when it's good, it's like improv. Improv's the same way. When it's good, it's good. But when it's bad, it's painful.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
There's like no in between.
It's hard watching a comic bomb.
When I first started doing stand-up, it was back when I was in Richmond, Virginia, and there was this club or this bar that would put us... They'd put four comics on in a night, and they told us to do 30 minutes each.
That's
God. That's insane.
Wow. That's how I started.
Like,
I started doing a
30-minute
celebrities
minute bit. Get 20 minutes on the main stage in the L.A. Comedy Store.
I know. So I started off doing 30-minute bits or 30-minute acts, and I remember seeing this one dude who went on before me. Oh, no, it wasn't the same night as me. It was like a week before I did. But I saw him bomb for 30 straight minutes. Oh,
that's terrible.
Oh, it
in
was.
All fairness,
it was hard to
that's
sit
how you
through.
Weed people out of the business real quick.
No, it's true. I never saw him on stage again.
Well, let
me
ask you, did you go on before or after him?
I went on the week after him.
Okay, because I was doing a show here in San Diego many years ago where it was a variety show, but there was only one other stand-up in it. It was me and a friend of mine. And my friend was a really popular local comic at the time.
Okay.
And he pretty much could do no wrong in the eyes of most of his audiences. And I was still fairly new. A lot of people here didn't know me. And he went on before me in the first half of the show. And I have scarcely in my life seen a comic go down harder in flames. He was unprepared. Like, you could tell that was the first time
it
he'd
shook
ever
him.
Bombed.
You could see it.
It really shook him. And it fell apart bad. And he only did 10 minutes.
And quick. That's
and
the other thing.
And I'm backstage in a panic because I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, this audience is never going to recover from that. I have to go on after him. Oh my God, this is horrible. So the second my part of the show came up and the crowd hadn't really healed at that point. And I went out there and I, for once in my life, followed Amy Meredith's advice.
That's right.
Because the number one criticism that I used to get as a stand-up comic was I'm incredibly fidgety. I'm fidgety and I pace.
And it makes the audience uncomfortable.
And it makes people uncomfortable. So when I walked out on stage, I grabbed a chair and I just sat it down in the middle of stage and then sat down in the chair and did my whole act sitting down.
Hmm.
I've never had a stand-up bit go better.
It ruled. Once you put his ass in a chair, it was gold.
From that point on, I was just like, okay, I need a stool or I need to just not move.
He had to Bill Cosby it. He had to sit his ass in a chair and just talk to the audience.
And eat
a Jell-O pudding pop.
And I felt so bad for the other comic because he was a funny guy. Like, he was pretty good.
Not on that night.
Not on that night. And
everybody has an off night.
And that's the thing that I kept remembering because it wasn't I was thinking, you know, and this is kind of selfish of me, but, you know, I was 22. What are you going to do? I wasn't thinking, oh, he'll do better next time. I just think, oh, shit, that means somewhere cosmically my turn is coming.
Well, yeah, as a stand, you're gonna bomb.
Yeah,
I don't care how funny you are, you're gonna bomb.
Well, especially
just the way life goes.
You know, having never done it before, but, you know, I know a lot of people that have and heard stories is, especially when you're trying out new material, you know, the best way to do it is in front of an audience, because shit you may think is hilarious will not register, and then they can say, like, hey, well, let me try this. Turns out to be phenomenal.
I mean, I've never bombed because I'm a comic genius. But I mean, everybody, I'm not joking. I've bombed my ass off. Oh, my Lord. It would make your head spin how badly I've bombed.
I think I've been to one of those.
Nah, I can see it.
Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
Anyway, we should move on.
So let's talk about our favorites.
Fair enough.
Awesome.
So I think everybody kind of put together a top five.
no. as we are wont to do.
Yeah. Really? I'm sure I can think of
five. Son of a bitch, Anthony.
Sorry.
You never do your homework.
I really don't.
I swear and to God.
My How's list, he ever going to pass this
yeah,
class?
Yeah, it's like, it could change. It,
yeah, this is...
It, oh, yeah. This is my top five
This
for
is like
today.
One of the most subjective lists yeah. I think yeah. you'd have.
And, this was hard to
and
narrow
also
down.
Too,
or bits, even.
Hard to narrow down.
I did print out like a top 100, so if we don't hit some people, we'll go over it.
Yeah,
we'll,
totally.
We'll throw some people out
We're
there.
We're going to make you read all 100
no.
of those names.
God, no. And then, of course, we have our fans. They have their favorites, too.
I'm sure they do.
Their incorrect opinions.
And these are not nearly as wacky as some of the other things.
Not true.
No, this is not nearly as bad off as some of their other opinions.
Okay, cool.
So good job, you guys.
All right. Way to get on board.
Yeah, we'll be the judge of that. Wait till we get to it.
Let's start with Joe tonight.
Holy shit.
Number five.
Mine really is not necessarily in any order. Kind of. My number one is my number one.
They're just, it's anarchy tonight.
It sure is.
But, I think my list is more like specifically, you know, I have very memorable specials or people that have influenced me to agree. And I'm sure this person is on many people's list. And we've already mentioned his name tonight, Bill Cosby.
Well, of course.
Yep.
I mean, of course.
I first was introduced to him really with the Cosby Show, and as a lot of people were. And then, you know, going back and then hearing all his stand-up, and I mean all that iconic stand-up, and then just
I'm sorry, I think Amy put a link to this on Facebook when your wife was in labor.
Oh, I did.
She put a link to one
of
his bits
about natural childbirth.
Yeah, about his wife giving birth. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I remember from that is like she's in the middle of giving birth, and he goes, and in the middle of everything, she accused my parents of never being married. And I was just like, that is the greatest and funniest way of not cursing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It took me years to understand that joke.
Yeah.
And on my list, and honorable mentions, and pretty much anyone, the only clean one. Like, because it's like, it's so hard to be a really good, not dirty comedy.
Oh, no, yes. Absolutely. And I envy those who can be. It's like, it's what I aim to be. I just am not.
Wow. Your aim
really?
Is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
No, I
That's
wish
like
I,
me aiming to be anorexic, dude. No,
I wish I could be a clean
no, comic. You have recited poems to titty sweat in church.
It's very true.
No one works blue more than you.
Yeah, but it's not because I want to. It's just how I am. I don't want to be this way. I just am this
Baby
way.
Baby, he was born this way.
It's true.
Thank you, Joe. But no, I'm with you. Bill Cosby was totally on my... He was
well, I mean...
One of the first ones I thought
Bill
of.
Bill Cosby himself
this.
Is probably the greatest stand-up film of all time.
Arguable.
I would go with
one,
that.
It's one of.
Again, these
certainly,
are all very
certainly
subjective.
For, yeah, exactly. Certainly one of my biggest influences. And that's... And also, you know... Bill Cosby was not 100% clean back in the day.
No.
Yeah. The further back you go in his career, the edgier it got... But my favorite joke from Bill Cosby himself is actually one where he kind of curses, and he's talking about cocaine.
Oh, yes.
And he said, what's the appeal of cocaine? And they say, well, it intensifies your personality. I say, yes, but what if you're an asshole? That's my favorite joke ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so quotable, so good. For me, if we're moving on to me.
Yeah.
Yep.
For me, my quote-unquote number five is a comedian that I have been a fan of since she first got into comedy. I don't know how it is I happened to see her so many years ago, but I loved her, and I love her still to this day, and she's only gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and she's a huge, huge star now, and that is Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh,
and,
yes.
That's right,
and
I remember, yeah.
Okay. Talk about, and
no, back in the day.
And talk about, well, here's the thing, because I just got done doing a rant about how you build your entire act around a gimmick. She couldn't do that. 25, 30 years ago. She could not be an out lesbian. So she had to work doubly as hard to come up with asexual jokes from a female perspective. And it was hilarious.
Yeah,
she would do jokes about, you know, airplanes and dentists and, you know, and like her act was super funny. And she was a comedian also that never cursed.
That's See, and I like her. I like her as a talk show host, and I like things that she hosts. I've never really been a fan of her stand-up.
I forgot about her stand-up.
Funny.
I've never really been a fan of her stand-up.
No, I have complete respect for her stand-up
Absolutely.
Catalog.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. Thank you for reminding me of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Durwood.
My number five has already been mentioned as well, and that is Louis C.K. And honestly, a lot of people, he's heralded a lot now from the stuff that he's been doing lately. I remember this stuff. One of my biggest influences in comedy, period, was the Hot Network and the Comedy Channel. This is what Comedy Central. They used to be two separate networks. And what both of those would do is they would show a lot of stand-up clips. And Louis C.K.'s clips would always come up. And I remember he had one clip where he talked about being arrested. And he had to go to jail, and they strip-searched him. And the officer's just like, lift your testicles.
That was his bit?
That was his bit.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he was just like, well, can I use my hands? Or should I just go, rise, testicles! Rise at my command! When you're in junior high, that's the funniest shit
ever. I'm sorry. I'm damn near 40, and that's funny now.
Yeah, exactly. And I always remember that. And the more popular he got, I was like, oh, no, it's the balls guy. Yes, I love this guy.
I'm sure he would appreciate being called the balls guy.
Well, you know, but it was hilarious.
I like his stuff. I listen to it a lot on my Pandora.
Yeah.
And which makes me go and seek out more. I don't watch his show for some reason. I can't tell you an answer to that. I don't know.
You should go back and check it out.
Yeah, go. It is very, like, it gives you a lot of the inner workings of comedy and, you know, stand-up comedy. But it also, I mean, he plays himself as the schlub.
Well, I love any of his bits where he's talking about his kids.
And there's a lot of it deals with his family.
His stuff with his kids is hilarious.
Now that I think about it, the show is actually very reminiscent of Seinfeld.
However,
it's very less kitschy, less very sticky, and less Seinfeldy. And
with 100% less Michael Richards.
Here's the thing.
That's always a plus.
In Seinfeld was very situation comedy.
Right.
Louis C.K.'s show, I wouldn't necessarily call a situation. Well,
It's probably a cross between behind the scenes and to a degree sketch or kind of
it's
acting out of comedy bits.
I will tell you,
in my opinion, it's really there is no genre for what he's doing on TV.
I will tell you, just here recently,
but also sometimes very serious,
yeah,
to a degree.
Well, that was what I was about to say. I do see clips of his shows from now every now and then. Somebody had posted one that was here just recently about Fat Chicks.
Oh, my Lord. That was an amazing episode.
That actually made me tear up. Yeah. That whole section when she's talking about that. And I think he's the one that actually wrote it.
Mm-hmm. He did write it.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. He writes, directs, and stars in all of it.
And edits, I believe.
Really, really. Yeah.
The Tonight Show arc.
Oh, that was great.
So good.
Oh, my Lord. Amy?
I'm going to go with one of my very personal favorites, because I'm not going to go in order. So this is one of my personal favorites. Everything she does makes me laugh, and I think she's one of the meanest old ladies in the world, and that would be Joan Rivers.
Oh, she was one of my honorables.
She was my number one, actually.
She is comedy gold.
Yeah. Very high up on my honorables.
When I was little, the Merv Griffin show was on, and I saw Joan Rivers on the Merv Griffin show.
Motherfucker, how old are you?
I was... this was like the very early 80s.
Oh, Merv Griffin was on the 80s? I didn't know that. Okay.
And
was alive in the 80s.
Yeah, and she came out and did her bit and sat down, and she was brash and she was funny. I love the way she talked, and I was cracking up. And my mother can't stand her. She's just like, I don't know why you think she's funny. She's so crash. She's this and that and the other. And the older I get, the more I have grown to love her.
Yep.
And I don't think that Joan Rivers gets nearly enough credit comedy legend that she is.
How old is she now?
She's 80 or 81.
And she is probably one of the sharpest on the cuff you'll ever see.
Will say 60 years into her career, over 80 years old, there isn't a comedian today that can fuck with her.
Yeah.
Not a one.
She could pull them apart.
Yeah,
not a one.
Yeah, if she had to battle somebody, she would destroy them.
Not a one.
We love Graham Norton. We watch him a lot, and she appears on his show quite a bit. And no matter who else the other guests are, they just kind of sit there and just let her go.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no competing with her.
And
she makes Fashion Police fun.
Yeah. I love her,
sad that it's no longer following the soup. That's how I watched it.
There are a lot of female comedians out nowadays that owe a lot to her.
Oh, they all do.
Pretty much.
And it's like, you can see the influence she had on them.
Yeah.
But she wasn't them.
No.
You know, like, you see the female comedians now, and I'm speaking in wild generalizations here, of course, but the trend is their body, they'll go there, quote unquote.
You're Sarah Silverman.
Yeah.
And see,
but that's not what Joan Rivers did. But that influence is still there, only because Joan Rivers did that, but she didn't do that with her material. She did that in the fact that she chose
her moments.
She picked and chose her moments, and also she was a trailblazer. I mean, she was a woman who was inside of the boys' club.
Yep.
You know, she guest hosted for Carson.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
until she got her own show,
and then she was banned from NBC.
Then all hell broke loose.
But when we started thinking about this list, two people came to my mind right off the bat, and that was Bill Cosby, and that was Joan Rivers. Joe.
Number four.
This is a man that I fell in love with in junior high. I had this CD. Oh, yes. And I played this album ad nauseum. I had it memorized, especially there was one song on it that...
Are we going to talk about Weird Al again?
Nope. We are talking about Dennis Leary and No Cure for Cancer.
I didn't even think of Dennis Leary. I love his stand-up. Oh,
and that No Cure for Cancer, an asshole.
Wasn't that big a fan.
I get
why people love him.
But I still, to this day, whenever I get sick and I'm taking NyQuil, I'm like, NyQuil, we love you, you giant fucking Q. subsequent stand-up, and then he's gone away from doing stand-up, and, you know.
He's a good actor.
Yeah, and actually a good actor.
He's a good actor. Rescue Me was a great show.
And probably one of my favorite parts of The Amazing Spider-Man, actually, playing Gwen Stacy's dad.
But
subsequent, you know, it's one of those things, like, for me, a lot of times, I'll get really attached to, like, one comedy bit or album of someone that, you know, like, you know, a good hour-long special, and then everything else after, it's like, well, it's good, but it's not that one. I mean, while he's done good stuff, just, No Cure for Cancer was one of those, like...
Yeah, I forgot about him, Joe. I like him. I always liked his stand-up.
Anthony?
All right. My next one is a comedian that got his start at a very young age, and I didn't really care for him when he first came on the scene. I didn't think he was that funny. It took many, many years for me to really warm to him, and now he's one of my favorite comedians of all time, and he just keeps getting better and better and better, and that is Chris Rock.
One of the things I love the most about
Chris Rock, and there are many, but one of the things I love the most is that he absolutely does not recycle material. And that is unheard of for a stand-up comic. He commits himself for every tour, for every concert that he does, every film he does. It's a brand new act every single year.
Actually, and I hate to be this guy because I don't want to detract from how great Chris Rock is. Mm-hmm. But if you go back early in his career, he had a CD called Big Ass Jokes, where he does a joke about how when you get a paycheck and they take taxes out, and that's not taxes, that's a jack. That was also in Bring the Pain.
Oh, good Lord. Just one joke.
Yeah, I'm just saying, though.
Oh, shut up,
I'm
Durwood. Just saying, though. You were saying, Anthony.
I will say that he has gone on record and said that he doesn't like comics who recycle all of their jokes.
Right.
So he tries to do a new act every year.
Let's be honest. Nobody heard of that CD, Big Ass
Jokes. With the exception of the Big Ass Jokes reference, Chris Rock is always fresh and new and funny.
I'm sorry. That's a comic genius. About Michael Jackson and his family.
Oh my God.
I have listened to that, I don't know how many times. And when he starts talking about Jermaine Jackson, I laugh my ass off every single time I hear it.
Oh my God. Every time.
If you look at Bring the Pain, right? Everybody's going to talk about his Niggas versus Black People bit, which is legendary.
That's awesome. Pandora.
Legendary. But here's the thing, though. If you look at everything else he does in Bring the Pain, that shit is.
Is that the one with the Jacksons?
No.
Oh.
No.
That's Never Scared.
Scared is actually my favorite film of his.
Mine is Bring the Pain. Bigger and Blacker was amazing too.
Yeah, Bigger and Blacker was awesome.
Oh my Lord. He hasn't had a bad one.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You know?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Non stand up movies, yes.
But yes.
Well,
but,
yeah.
and his like his early material when Eddie Murphy had discovered him, I didn't care for it. I think it took him a while to grow into his act.
But, I will agree with that, but I always enjoyed his stuff earlier on. But then again, I was younger there, and I think I just loved the fact that he cussed.
But I will tell you, Joe, whereas with Dennis Leary, I think Dennis Leary is actually a very good actor. I don't think Chris Rock is a good actor.
In the right role, Chris Rock is, but
I think he's a better director than he is an actual actor.
I did think he had moments on SNL.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we all know that Pootie Tang is awesome. Okay.
Oh, God.
Speaking of Louis C.K.
Exactly. He directed that. All right.
Really?
Yeah.
Louis C.K. directed Pootie
Tang. I discovered that like a year ago. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck?
What is life?
Like, between that or finding out Harold Ramis actually had involvement in Caddyshack 2. I didn't know which was more.
Louis C.K. was a writer on The Chris Rock Show.
Lord, everybody needs a paycheck.
He was also a writer.
We'll forgive you, Louis C.K.
The Late Show with Conan.
He went from that to working on, Chris Rock Show.
Durwood.
My number four, and a lot of people are going to want to maybe give me shit about this because this guy's not exactly cool to like. But fuck you. If you don't like him, you can eat a dick and you don't know what real comedy is. I'm talking about Sinbad. I said it, Sinbad. Sinbad is flat out funny. Pure as shit, funny. Go back and watch all his specials. I laugh till I pass out and I can't breathe.
Here's my thing about that. The only reason. In my opinion, the only reason that someone could justifiably give you shit about loving Sinbad is that it's very dated.
Yeah. No.
Sinbad was very of his time.
It's true.
You know.
But when we watched it and when it was...
And here's the thing.
We still quote it.
He's hilarious.
He came out with a special... when was it?
See, it's a long time ago.
No, it wasn't that long ago. The Jonas Brothers were hot at the time.
So, 2008, it was called Dear Durwood.
You know what? Anyway.
Because you were the only one who was going to watch it.
If only. Anyway, and that shit was hilarious. Go back and check out anything Sinbad has ever done, and it's funny, 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 funny as hell.
And clean. And clean, that's the other thing. And Sinbad was hilarious. Like, I think that's absolutely, positively a justifiable number four.
Thank you.
My turn.
Amy.
I'm going to go across the sea. To Eddie Izzard.
Nice.
Oh, shit. I completely forgot about Eddie Izzard.
I love Eddie Izzard. I think he's also very... You have to have a particular ear for him because he is so British. His stand-up is
He's
very...
not a comic for dumb people.
No.
That, and also, but... too, his stand-up is... It's almost like listening to just a train of thought sometimes to me when I hear him.
Yeah.
It's like stream of consciousness. That's what the words I was trying to come up with. It's almost like listening to that. And if that's not your shtick, I understand it.
I envy the balls he has for, I think, Dressed to Kill was his first special for the U.S., right?
Yeah.
And he did Dressed to Kill, his first special for the U.S., in drag.
Well, not in drag.
He was wearing a dress and makeup and heels. That's drag.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? He came out and cross-dressed for his first special and pretty much told them, hey, this is what I do. I'm transvestite, not gay, but this is what I do. Now I'm telling you jokes.
Well, you know that he does a bit about getting beaten up for it and everything. And I think he's hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. But usually, if you're a comic and you're going to introduce yourself to America, that's usually not the way you do it. He said, I don't give a fuck. I'm funny. And guess what? He is.
Yeah.
No, love Eddie Izzard.
And
big
he's also
fan.
A great actor.
He is a great actor.
Oh,
he is a phenomenal actor. He was on Hannibal.
Oh, my God, on Hannibal.
Eddie Izzard is a great barometer for how cool someone's tastes are. When they tell you they love Eddie Izzard, you're like, okay, we can be friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, on Hannibal. Oh,
and usually whenever he comes in some sort of supporting role, because that's usually what he's done.
Yes.
You don't know he's there, and all of a sudden he's there. I'm like, fuck yes.
I loved the show he had with Minnie Driver, The Riches.
Oh, The Riches was good.
I missed that. I wanted to see it, but I
That was a good show. It was interesting.
It left way too early. Yeah. They were going somewhere with that, and it was going to be awesome, but they didn't get enough time.
Back around to Joe.
All right, my number three.
Number three!
Number three is actually probably on a couple people's here. I'm looking at Durwood's list, at least.
He's already said Sinbad.
Damn it. No, I enjoy Sinbad, actually. Mainly, there were two specials that really resonate with me in this one, and Eddie Murphy.
Oh yeah, and you're right.
Totally,
he's my number one.
Yeah,
he was on my list as well.
Yeah, I mean, honorable mention and Raw were like, oh my god! I remember actually at one point, I was working on some project in junior high, and we needed some sort of laugh track. I put one of those in to get those, because it was one of the best because people were laughing so much at it, and we were laughing. It was really hard not to get our laughter on that.
Yeah, he's one of those who started off really young, too, also. He started SNL when he was 19.
But those specials...
stand up before that.
Yeah.
His Delirious and Raw, those were like the ones we had to sneak to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were so filthy.
My parents wouldn't let me watch Raw initially. And then when I did watch, I was like,
But we unfortunately were making the Wonder Bread joke, and our parents were like, hey, like, what?
What are you talking about?
The house burger.
Oh, the house burger. Oh my God, the house burger.
And what's sad is, you know, you look at it where a lot of these comedians we've talked about, you know, they have great stand-up and then they become famous.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking about the house burger.
And then they end up doing, you know, all this stuff. And then they do some great stuff. I mean, Eddie Murphy had some great post-stand-up. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he's especially done some in the good 80s acting. And into the 90s. And now a whole generation knows, you know, Dr. Dolittle or in a bunch of shitty-ass movies.
But you know what? I don't mind that so much because that's what YouTube is for. That's what YouTube is for.
But, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, okay, go back and look. And I think a lot, you know, thankfully, when we were growing up, comedians that did stand-up hadn't gotten, you know, that it wasn't a vehicle to get TV shows or whatnot. Right. So it was almost they stuck with stand-up.
Yeah.
So we got all these stand-up people. Or they did something that was more stand-up related. Like, they did talk shows. They did, you know, The Tonight Show or any one of those.
If you ever have a question of how funny Eddie Murphy is, three words. Coming to America.
Which I finally saw, like, 2 years ago.
Two more words. Trading Places.
Oh, Trading Places is so good.
One more word. Norbit. Just kidding.
Academy Award nominated movie.
Yes.
Well, the award.
Damn you, Rick Baker.
The award it was nominated for, it actually deserved.
Yes.
However, or the movie's just not funny.
Five words, Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2.
Okay.
Six words.
But. Haunted Mansion.
Oh, shut up. Jesus. Go.
Pluto Nash.
Go before we skip you.
All right. My number three is another lady comic, and it's Roseanne.
Oh, okay.
Damn it,
she
was
so
list.
Close to mine.
And,
I love Roseanne.
Here's the thing that I love about Roseanne, because to go back to comics who kind of had their act built into what their show would eventually be, mm-hmm. and she was definitely that. She did the domestic goddess, the thing about the wife and the kids and the husband and this, that, and the other. And it was all great, and her show was great for the first several seasons. Mm. And one special that really comes to mind is one that she did in 1992. And at this point, she had been on TV for years. Her show had been on TV. She was a huge star. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew who she was. And she did a really funny stand-up special because her act essentially hadn't changed, but she was now making fun of her Hollywood life.
Mm.
And I think the mark of any good comic is they are more than their material. They are who they are at whatever point in their career. And to me, she was just as funny being a rich and famous celebrity up there doing her act as she was when she was blue-collar funny.
I hear you.
And there's really, and I find Roseanne to be very underrated in the grand scheme of
and
things.
I think there's a big difference between what Roseanne did and what a lot of people came after her did. And I think a lot of people actually probably used her as a model. Mm-hmm. Roseanne went on stage and she was being herself. It happened to be a great concept for a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a lot of people saw that and thought, ooh, what about me could be a TV show. Let me put that on stage.
Right.
And then it was a bastardization, and then we got what we ended up getting. But Roseanne was just, she was genuine in what she was. And that's what resonated with a lot of people, I think. Mm-hmm. And that was the source of her being so incredibly funny and such a great performer. She was just genuine. All right, so me?
Yeah.
All right, number three, I'm going with somebody who I've mentioned on this podcast before, and it's Brian Regan. Another clean comic. Not necessarily as heralded as
I haven't heard as much.
Yeah, you really should. Check him out on Pandora, YouTube.
He's been around a while.
He has been for a long time. He's another one of those who I discovered back in the Aha and Comedy Channel days. And he just never ceases to make me laugh. There's one bit I hear on Pandora all the time that he does when he says, if you book a hotel... No. If you have second thoughts about booking a hotel at an Indian casino... Are you having a reservation? Thank you, Anthony. And that shit's hilarious to me. Yeah.
And going off of what you were talking about, you know, the Ha Channel and the Comedy Channel and all that, I miss, you know, I think it's more or less pre-South Park Comedy Central even,
mm-hmm.
where you could just at any time almost find some sort of stand-up special.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah,
it was hilarious. Just you know, sometimes like, you know what? I want what's on, you know, and just be able to catch
some stand.
I don't remember who most of those people were. Most of them probably never amount to anything. But
yeah, there's a whole lot of bits that I know that I've probably stolen or I've imitated the pattern or a pattern of how they speak or something like that into my everyday speech.
Oh yeah,
yeah. just so influenced by all those different stand-ups, most of whom, I also don't
remember. But the key to it is being really careful how much you wear those influences on your sleeve, or it might be considered jacking someone else's act entirely. Mitch Hedberg.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I said it.
Oh, my. To me?
Yes, to you, Amy.
Gonna go a little old school. There was the third name that immediately popped in my head and had to go on the list when we did this was George Carlin.
That was my number two. Okay.
What are you shaking your head for?
Because here's the thing. He's not even on my list for one reason and one reason only. To me, he is, was, and will always be forever in a class entirely his own.
Okay.
I
he was too good for this list?
Pretty much. I hold him in that high of regard.
Having listened to stuff on Pandora now, I've gotten a lot of his old stuff. But also some of the stuff he did later, which was so funny.
Yeah, another one who only got better as time went on.
Yeah,
I mean, he's mostly known for like his first, you know, the seven words you can say on television and that. But, I mean, yeah, he just got better and better and better. I was so jealous. My brother got to see him in Vegas once.
Oh.
He's one I wanted to see so badly.
Like, I am not the biggest George Carlin fan. However, I will say I envy the way that he, no matter what, when, or how, he always had control over a room. If he had the microphone in his hand and was speaking into it, everyone was paying attention to him. He was an MC who was doing comedy on stage.
Yeah.
And it's amazing watching him work. I mean, I guess most of the time his comedy just wasn't for me, but whenever he'd be on TV, I would never turn away.
His stuff about religion is just so good. But the thing, it's not even his stand-up. The thing that always makes me laugh, and if this shitty movie is on, I'll like try to gauge it to this one part, and it's just one line. It's where Kevin Smith's movie Jersey Girl.
Mm-hmm. He was phenomenal in.
He's the best thing in it, but he plays Ben Affleck's father. And he's been taking care of the baby, and Ben Affleck, and finally he's had enough, and is like, just tossed the kid back on Ben Affleck, and he's like chasing him down, and he just yells out this like thing. He's right, be a father, shithead. And it's just
because he says, what am I supposed to do? Try being a father, shithead.
It is just that perfect delivery of it. It makes me laugh every single time I see it.
Very nice.
Yeah, he did, you know, in at least three Kevin Smith movies between his little
Dogma,
which is hilarious when you know, Buddy Christ and Catholicism. Yep. Wow, and oh, yeah,
funny man.
Number two.
Well, mine was George Carlin, number two. So I'm just gonna go to one of my
move another one up
honorable mentions that has not been mentioned already, like Joan Rivers and Roseanne Barr. So let's go with actually someone more current that I think is very a very 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 funny man, and Patton Oswalt.
Yes,
the comedy duet. Yeah. Patton Oswalt. I swear to God, I thought it was a comedy duo the first time I heard
that. And
name.
I'm sad I didn't get to see the special that they recorded during last year's Comic Con at the Spreckles, but then they just aired it on.
Patton Oswalt was so freaking funny.
Yeah, and the whole bit he has, I mean, he has so many great bits, but the whole thing on. Was it Weight Watchers or Lean Cuisines? Literally the next day I was at work. And I'm all like, son of a bitch, this, I have to take this out and rotate something. Fuck you, Patton Oswalt.
No, it's the stuff on KFC that cracks me up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The disappointment in a misery bowl or something. Talking about the KFC bowl. Oh, my God.
And I love, and he's also one of those people that does like little bits here and there. And
I want all the ham.
And you're just all like, when he shows up on something, you're like, yay, Patton Oswalt. Yeah. And I love him on Twitter.
He's great on Twitter. The guest spots and that he does on TV shows
people
are great.
On Twitter, like, you know, those that he agrees with and those that he doesn't. And most of the time he really tries to have a good conversation with people. Yeah. Sometimes not so much. But,
Oh, my favorite one, the one I made you listen to about his early days in comedy with the comedy magicians.
Oh, my Lord, that shit's hilarious.
Hate fuck the audience for 15 minutes. Oh, I love that so much.
Awesome.
Over to you.
All right. My number two, I'm not going to talk too much about it. I'm just saying, everybody in this room will recognize I got two words for you. Richard Pryor.
Yeah. Fuck to the, I didn't put him on my list because I knew somebody else would.
Yeah, I was hoping someone else would too.
I bow down to all that is Richard Pryor.
A good actor.
And talking about he was great. And talking about Joan Rivers earlier, paving the way.
Yeah.
There are so many comedians that owe a debt to Richard Pryor.
You mean
ridiculous.
All the black ones?
No, beyond that. Although, yes.
that's just like the base. And then there's... Yeah.
Because I think, you know, you had your Bill Cosby, who was the safe, approachable black guy, but you needed Richard Pryor.
There were black comedians who knew that they could be themselves on
who
stage.
Was dangerous.
Yeah.
Who was smart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who was edgy and funny shit.
Mm-hmm. And how smart he was is because he co-wrote Blazing Saddles with Mel Brooks.
Oh, yeah. He should have been in it.
Well, no. He said no. He said, I will not be in it because, one, he knew it would not get made. And, two, it's just he's like, I'm not right for this role. And he recommended Cleavon Little. Mm. And he's like, you needed that more smoothness to that role instead of the Richard Pryor to that. I mean, granted, we can forgive
Richard
him
Pryor
for Superman 3, but you know.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But because of all the other Gene Wilder movies he did.
Yes.
Those
oh,
two
my Lord.
Together. Oh my
Hear
God.
No Evil, See No Evil is my shit.
Oh, that's a good movie. I haven't
Silver
seen that movie
Streak.
In so long.
Am I the only person that loves The Toy?
Oh no.
I love The Toy.
Oh my Lord. I
love
The Toy.
It's
one of my favorite movies of all time.
Brewster's Millions also good.
But that's
pretty good.
But The Toy though.
Oh,
the toy though. Jackie Gleason.
Fucking love The Toy.
Oh my God, The Toy. Oh.
Angela, Jesus H. Christ. Is that her whole name?
That movie's so racist.
Oh my God. So terrible. Yeah. So terrible. I want the black one. We can get it in black. The black man. Yeah, you could never make that movie now.
Oh
ever.
God, no.
It is my goal. I will remake that movie.
Oh, please don't.
You can't remake that without Jackie Gleason. And Richard Pryor? Okay.
All right, and I'm just going to skip ahead and say my number one's already been mentioned, which is Joan Rivers.
Okay.
All right, fair enough. All right, so my number two has already been mentioned also, and that was Chris Rock. So I'm going to take this opportunity to mention somebody who probably most of y'all have not heard of, but you need to find her out.
Richard Pryor.
No, her name is Leslie Jones. She actually just started writing for SNL.
I think that's where I heard the name.
She is fucking hilarious. I don't see how anybody could ever possibly follow her, but because nobody knows who she is, she's never on last, and she should be. Nothing but pure energy and fucking funny as shit. Black lady, about 6 feet tall, probably over 6 feet tall, and just fucking hilarious. When they did the reboot of Def Comedy Jam, the one that they was shot in L.A., I think it was like back in 07 or something like that. She did, I can't remember any of the bits. I just remember it blew my face off. And her set was right in front of Bill Bellamy.
Okay? Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we all know who Bill Bellamy is, okay? He invented the term booty call, all right? He had to come out there and you could tell that he had no way of following this woman. It just wasn't possible. I mean, people laughed at him out of respect, but Leslie took all the laughter out of that room when she did her set. It was unreal. Find her on YouTube wherever you can. Search her out. She will just do stuff that will just...
What's her name again?
Leslie Jones.
Okay.
Usually just goes by Leslie. But yeah, find her. I'm so happy she's writing for SNL right now. She deserves to be out there and getting paid to do
comedy.
Yay,
people calling out SNL, you know, because like, oh, yeah. By the way.
Yeah. I hate the fact that they had to be forced to put black people on their show, but I'm glad they had to be forced to put black people on their show.
It's a catch-22. You shouldn't have had to be forced, but since you were forced.
Look, the Jay-Z Solange bit was funny.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, my next one, also too, a lot of people probably haven't heard of him. I just discovered recently, thanks to my Pandora. But I think he's really funny, and I think other people should listen to him. It's Matt Bronger.
Oh, yes, he is funny.
Really, really funny guy.
Yeah.
One of the bits I listen to is called The Sound, and it's the sound someone makes at a party before they're about to puke, and it gives you a 10-second warning. And the bit that he did, I was at work listening to it, and I was laughing so hard I had to stop it, and like, because people were looking at me. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, I gotta walk away for a second, because it was so funny. Yes, the whole idea that it's a sound, but the whole bit is hilarious about how he's, you know, no one's their own bartender at a house party, and you rarely cut yourself off, which is so true.
Yeah,
it's very
but
true.
The sound, the best part of it is he's talking about, like, when you're in New Orleans, you hear it like crickets in a field, the sound. But yeah, it's great. Matt Bronger, if you look him up on YouTube as well, because a lot of his other stuff, like, there's like that one, then there's like a couple other ones. I have to like stop and pause because I'm laughing so hard at work. People are staring at me funny.
Yeah, I think I'd like to take this opportunity to just let, if we're mentioning people that you haven't heard of, get on Pandora and put it on Today's Comedy Greats or whatever that
station
is. I found
Matt Bronger because I started my own with Louis C.K.
Okay.
And Patton Oswalt, and I got to him through them.
That's but a great comedy trio.
Pandora is...
Louis C.K. and Patton Oswalt.
I love the three of them.
Pandora is a great place to find a lot of these comedians and discover new ones. There's a lot of great stuff out
so
there.
So I know we've all just about said our number ones, but we'll make that one more round.
We have not said my number
one.
Go
ahead, Joe.
Okay.
This is also going with the theme, someone you may have not heard of, really. That I mean,
and it's your number one.
Although they got started in the 70s, they, you know, they've had a slow go of things. And
Willie Tyler and Lester.
But a huge influence on me, a gentleman named Robin Williams.
Oh! Okay.
I've never heard of him.
Oh, I have to say, he was on my list. Surprisingly, you know, because so much of his early stuff is
coke-infused.
Well, not appropriate for children. Yeah. And if my mom was not very much in the way of letting me listen or watch risque things. Like, I was not allowed to watch Married with Children when it first came out. I barely was allowed to watch The Simpsons when it first came on. So the fact that in sixth grade, I had my dad's audio tape of this comedy bit, Reality What a Concept, which basically was a lot of the bits from his off-the-wall stand-up special, which I... And I had that thing memorized in sixth grade. In sixth grade camp, I tried to do a bit. We had to do a skit. I wanted to do... Basically, it's Kindergarten for the Stars, and they had Sammy Davis Jr. And but there's this whole thing with, you know, he was doing a Russian accent for the first bit of it, and
Stallone and Hamlet, to be or what?
Yeah, and
you are not nearly hairy enough to be Robin Williams, Joe.
I know, which is frightening. Fact that I remember when I was like 13 when Aladdin came out, and I made my dad take me and go see it because I was already this huge fan of Robin Williams, which until around that time. Most 13-year-olds should not be a big fan of Robin Williams at that. It wasn't until after when he
unless
started
unless you watched Mork and Mindy.
Yeah. Yeah, and but then yeah, a couple of his his Life on Broadway special.
That's the one with the golf.
Then the with his hairy arm doing.
Oh,
the,
when I first about going down on a chair.
Yes, yeah. When I first started at my job, a few months prior we had Robin Williams, and so I just missed. I was pissed off. Well, the poster was up in his office. It was from that tour, the pre-version of that Live on Broadway. And there was a bunch of things. The middle image is him doing that gesture, but he has an actual like long sleeve shirt sweater on. Mm-hmm. And
sure it wasn't his arm.
It was very black. So it wasn't like that brownish. But yeah, it wasn't until maybe a year later when that special aired that I saw that. I'm like, I cannot look at this poster. And then I finally got to see him. He did a Weapons of Self-Destruction tour.
And that's a good.
I got to see that like 10th row center. And oh my God, it was one of the most amazing things. And it was funny because right across the aisle, there was actually a family. And they had like a 10, 11-year-old kid. And so at the end, when they, you know, obviously he was getting a standing ovation at the very end. And everyone was applauding. And the kid kind of stepped out. He was on the aisle. And he kind of stepped out. And he's like, oh my God, there's a kid here. You learned a lot today, didn't you? But yeah, Robin Williams.
I'm glad you brought up Robin Williams, actually, because I was listening to one of our prior podcasts, and I remember when we did Best Sports Movies, honorable mention should have been Best of Times. Just saying.
Okay. Oh, that is a fun movie.
Yeah. All right.
Do you have another one?
Well, I mean, I have a bunch of honorable mentions.
Just say one.
Bill Maher. Actually,
oh, I
I think he's got a little cynical now, but going further back, yeah, he actually was really funny and I really enjoyed him. I'm going to spit out a few more.
We're not done yet.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and mention Robin Harris.
Rest in peace.
Yes. You may remember him as the dad in House Party.
Or Bebe's Kids.
Oh my Lord. Talk about having CDs that you would memorize. Bebe's Kids. I memorized that Bebe's Kids bit. Oh my Lord. One of the things my stepdad introduced me to, and oh God bless him for doing so. Robin Harris was a genius. Seek him out if you don't know who he is.
He was great.
One of the last ones I want to mention, and going back to this whole stand-ups and then going into sitcoms, he's going to have a sitcom this fall, John Mulaney.
Oh, and thank God, because he's hilarious.
John Mulaney's stand-up is so funny.
Yeah.
I love his stand-up, but he's going to have his own show this fall on Fox.
And
so,
that's good, yeah.
Well, I'm a little worried. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm just happy that he's getting paid. How about that? I love when comedians that I like get jobs.
Yeah.
So did y'all want to go around? Do you want me to spit out some names?
Let's do some honorables.
Let's machine gun our honorables. How
all
about
right,
that?
I'll go.
I don't know if I have
Kevin Hart.
Oh, nice. Thank you for mentioning him. He is the black comic now. For some reason, nowadays, you can only have one good black comic.
All I've seen of Kevin Hart was last year's MTV VMAs.
Oh, no.
Do not use that again.
He was not funny.
Anything that deals with MTV as your gauge, don't do that.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
I just saw Let Me Explain was hilarious. And then, he's had a bunch of other specials.
Someone I've had the fortune of seeing live in concert, and she kills me every single time, Paula Poundstone.
Really?
Oh my God, love her.
Good.
I haven't seen her recently.
Derwood? She's hilarious.
Amy Schumer, love her. Oh, nice. Love her.
The only one that I didn't get to mention that was on my list, female again, Elaine Boozler.
Love Elaine Boozler.
Oh, yes. When I was little and my parents were gone, I'd get to watch her on HBO because she always had those like 30-minute HBO specials. Loved Elaine Boozler.
Yep.
Someone who I know a lot more from their non-standup, but Steve Martin.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Someone who eventually went to TV, but I loved when she did stand up, Caroline Ray.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love
her stand up. I love
her stand up. Is awesome. Oh, man. I had a crush on her, too. I got Red Fox next.
Oh, yeah.
Sanford and Son. His stand up, some of the dirtiest shit you'll ever hear, but hilarious.
Anybody else?
Going back to the earlier point in her career, Margaret Cho.
Oh, okay.
I'm not really feeling her now, but earlier I loved her
stuff. Joe, did you have another one?
I have Mr. Sam Kinison.
I was just looking at him on this list.
I got Hannibal Burress.
No, you don't know who he is? No. Nope.
I think I know Pandora all the time.
Not on mine.
Check out Hannibal Burress. Hannibal Burress is fucking funny.
Do anybody else have anything else?
It's one of those, and recently he's gotten a lot more right wing, but some of his very intelligent stuff, because you almost need a PhD to understand him. Dennis Miller.
Mm-hmm. Dennis Miller was funny.
His stand-up was always good.
I'll go ahead and fire off the rest of mine. I got Patrice O'Neill, rest his soul. Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah. Oh, my God. How did I forget Jim fucking Gaffigan?
Bill Burr, relatively now getting popular, but great. And the Collective Kings of Comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, I love that.
What a great film.
And my last one is Rodney.
Dangerfield, of course.
I've got one. Someone that I know we're all a big fan of, Aisha Tyler.
Oh, yes.
We love her. She's our friend.
Yeah. She does so many other things now that I forget she does stand-up.
Yeah, her stand-up is great.
I want her to get some sort of late show.
I want her to bear my children.
No. So, the 100 list, a couple we didn't, I'll just throw out there that we didn't mention. Lenny Bruce was...
Love Lenny Bruce.
I'm not familiar with his stuff. I just know that he was dirty.
He did some great stuff back in the day. I saw an animated film when I was 15 or 16 years old set to one of Lenny Bruce's bits.
Hmm.
And oh my God, it is still to this day one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Because it was Dustin Hoffman. They did a movie, Lenny, that was about him and Dustin Hoffman. I haven't seen it
yet. Bob Fosse directed that.
Oh.
Nice. I will tell you the top three were Richard Pryor, George Carlin, and Lenny Bruce.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I also want to give props to Stephen Wright.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Great, great comedian.
I'm trying to see who else we missed here. Bob Newhart was in the top.
And that's one of those things I always forget he does stand up just because I think of him as just a great
fan. And occasionally now they just prop him up and wheel him out at award shows.
Good Lord. In the top was Ray Romano. Anybody?
Huh. I don't remember his stand up.
I remember his stand up back before he had the show, and he, was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And what's funny though is I don't remember his stand up being too closely related to what his show actually ended up being. I mean, he did a lot of family stuff, but you know. It wasn't one of those where he had like a gimmick, but he was actually really, really funny.
I'll tell you another one we didn't mention on here, Milton Berle.
No, that's because I'm just not familiar with his stand-up, honestly.
Yeah.
Gary Shandling.
Oh my Lord. I'm more of a fan of the TV stuff that he did.
Yeah. Oh, Larry Sanders.
It's Gary Shandling's show.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah. Oh, Phyllis Diller.
Talk
about a pioneer.
She was really funny too. She wasn't quite as brash as Joan Rivers, but she was pretty damn funny.
Yeah.
Someone I'm just on the list here that I am shocked nobody mentioned, Dave Chappelle.
Oh, but you know why? Because I think he's a much better sketch performer
than
he is a stand-up comic. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. He's done some stand-up stuff that has made me black out from laughing so hard.
Did we do a sketch show one? And I'm sure Chappelle's show was on that.
We did SNL.
Oh, SNL.
We did. Yeah. Another comedian. Talk about longevity. George Burns.
Oh, I was just about to say that.
And he's still going.
He's
playing somewhere right now.
He used to say the funniest bit ever, and it was in the early 90s because he died in 95. He was 100 years old. And he used to say, I can't die. I'm booked. And yeah, he was another one who was funny and sharp right up until the end. Yeah, I think Betty White is headed very much down that same path.
I could see
that happening, mostly because I want Betty White to live forever.
Yeah. Martin Lawrence. No?
Okay, well, no.
He had Cricket?
Back in the day, I remember his HBO special. It was right after House Party came out. And I remember that shit being fucking hilarious. Mm-hmm. And him hosting Def Comedy Jam was great, too. Unfortunately, what I remember most is the two movies he did after that. One of them was called Run, Tell That. The other one, I can't remember the name of it. But they just weren't that funny, unfortunately.
Well,
and I never thought he was that great in movies either.
That's a good segue to another comic that I absolutely loved back in the day, and now I just ask, what the hell happened? Arsenio Hall.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
His stand-up stuff was funny.
His stand-up stuff was funny, and when his original show was funny as shit, too. I honestly think his show now, which I think we're agreed is just not that funny, I think his writers are to blame.
It is when he's off the cuff.
Yeah, I think his writers are to blame for the current state of his show right now. And Arsenio, if you feel similarly, you could hire us.
Mm-hmm. I'm a 2-time Telly Award-winning comedy writer. I'm just saying.
Oh, Lord. Right at the bottom of this list, we had Andrew Dice Clay and Gallagher.
I enjoy Gallagher.
That is an interesting discussion.
They had to round out the 100.
How do we feel about the prop comic?
You mean like Carrot Top? He's frightening.
No, Carrot Top, I'm going to say it, is funny.
I saw him at the Del Mar Fair right after high school.
Was he serving up Sloppy Joes?
That's fucked up.
Yeah, like I mean, he was like picking up the, you know, because he's roided out. But no, actually, it was one of those things, because, like, you know, when I was younger and a kid, like, you know, that shit's funny. And then, like, right after high school, he was there, and while it was the Del Mar Fair, it was an all-ages thing, he started to swear. And, like, it was one of those things. I was like, oh wait, you can...
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, and, like, he brought, you know, prop con, but he was a little more risque, and, like, he had a bong on a Lazy Susan, which I thought was hilarious.
With Carrot Top, I actually saw him in a bar that I was in Vegas a couple of years ago, and I would
wasn't that your birthday?
Yeah, and I'm happy to
when
report
I was off at the strip club.
I am happy to report that Carrot Top is just as ugly in person.
Wow, that dude is frightening.
Oh my god,
but
it's scary.
I honestly think he's funny. Gallagher, not so much.
Gallagher had, I mean, especially from the thing is his bits kind of worn out, but I think, you know, seeing that's. It's almost the same
Once
thing.
Once you see somebody bust a watermelon, you've seen somebody bust up a watermelon.
But that first time you see it, and especially if you're younger, that shit is hilarious. Mm. Watching people get doused by watermelon goo.
That's kind of how Howie Mandel started, too, as a prop comic.
Yeah, he was. And was funny at it, I think.
Okay, so before we head off, we have our fans. They voiced their opinion as they are wont to do.
All right, let's see what they did.
I'm told it's a good list.
Top of the list was Louis C.K.
Okay. Yeah. That's a...
Next was Mitch Hedberg.
All right.
Anthony shaking his head.
Shaking my head. And I know a lot of people think I'm insane for this, but I'm sorry. It is my opinion that just go watch Stephen Wright.
Yeah.
Okay. Tied next was Kevin Hart and Pablo Francisco, who I don't know.
Pablo Francisco is... He does a lot of great impressions, actually, and he search him out. He does some good stuff. I don't think he should be top of this list, but he does some good stuff.
Next multiple was George Carlin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the one outs were Eddie Izzard, of course. Mm-hmm. Dana Gould, who I don't know.
I haven't heard of him in a while.
Yeah, he hasn't done a lot recently.
He's been doing a lot more writing and producing. He did a lot of stuff with The Simpsons, actually.
Cat Williams.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Amy
Schumer.
Before
we're crazy.
Aisha Tyler, Hal Sparks.
Oh, okay.
Hal Sparks is funny.
His stand-up is funny. Wanda Sykes.
Mm.
She tells it like it is.
I know. And Margaret Cho.
Margaret Cho.
So I thought our fans did pretty good that time.
Yeah.
All right. Y'all are okay.
It's not nearly as bad as like your albums and movie choices.
And I will say one thing. While I do enjoy both Stephen Wright and Mitch Hedberg, I think, you know, the thing about dying in your prime tends to have... elevates you to a higher level.
Agreed. I mean, and I'm not saying that Mitch Hedberg wasn't funny, because he was funny. But the problem is that for me, his act was patterned entirely after Stephen Wright.
I like Stephen Wright.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go.
If we missed anybody, listeners out there, you should absolutely let us know.
At thehasslepopculture@gmail.com.
Ooh, yeah.
If you liked what you heard here, you can get our brand of funny every day on Twitter. You can follow us at PopCultureHouse, or you can follow me personally, Anthony Donovan, DaBoy, D-A-B-O-Y.
I'm at Reggie Swing.
The_Warden23.
Crazed Dr. Scott.
We want to thank sound engineer Joey and everybody here at Don't Panic Studios, and we will see you next time.
Yay!
Try the veal.
Tip your waitress.
Just the tip. This is the House of Pop Culture. I am Anthony Donovan.
Amy Meredith.
Derwood Murray.
And Joe Reese.
Sorry, yeah. Joe.
Well played, Andy. Well played.
We don't like him on the podcast either, Andy.
That was like Frau Blum.